Hey guys, welcome back to Get Fit with Jules. So this week is the second episode, and today we're going to be talking about understanding the ACE Integrated Fitness Training Model. So ACE is the American Council on Exercise, and they know a ton of stuff about fitness and health in general. So let's dive right into this. Okay, so we're just going to dive into what part of training that there is. Like, there's two different kinds. So there's functional movement, and then there's resistance training. So functional movement and resistance training are often treated as two separate and unrelated types of training. However, at the core of human movement is posture. Individuals who have weak core muscles, muscle imbalances, and or postural deviations are in poor postural health and at increased risk for injury when external loads are applied to movements. So for that reason, the functional movement and resistance training component begins in phase one with assessments and training for postural and joint stability and mobility. So once a client gains or restores good postural integrity, he or she is ready to move on to phase two. So that's where assessments and exercise selection are focused on training the basic movement patterns of single leg actions, squatting or bending, pushing, pulling, and rotating. So before loading these movement patterns with external resistance and or progressing to phase three, the client must first demonstrate proficiency with performing bodyweight movement sequences and with proper form, core stabilization, control of the center of gravity, and control of the velocity of movement. Okay, so what I just explained is basically there's two different types of movement, functional movement and resistance training. And I got this specifically from the ACE Personal Training Manual. And the reason I just quoted that was because they say pretty much exactly on why you want to train this way. A lot of people are thinking, oh, let's just do cardio. Oh, let's just do weights. And of course, you know, it's a good time when you were really good at only lifting weights or only doing cardio. But if you want to become an all-around athlete, you need to do both. So when we're looking at understanding the ACE Integrated Fitness Training Model, we want to look at how there are four different phases. So there's phase one, stability and mobility training. Phase two, movement training. Phase three is load training. Phase four is performance training. So basically, phase one is stability and mobility. So the training focus during phase one is on the introduction of low-intensity exercise programs to improve muscle balance, muscular endurance, core function, flexibility, static and dynamic balance to improve the client's posture. So these are all just getting you ready to be able to begin exercising. This is going to work on your posture, your balance, your movement, your range of motion. All of these are so, so important when you're just starting out to exercise. Alright, now we have phase two, which is movement training. So these are all you're beginning to learn how to move. So this is the bend and lift movements, which is like squatting, you know, when a person just sits down, stands up, or just squats regularly, bodyweight squats. Single leg movements, which is like lunging, pushing movements, which is overhead or shoulder press, pulling movements, and rotational spiral movements. So all of these are very, very like lifestyle movements. Like none of these are going to be new, and this is getting the technique down. Okay, now we have phase three, which is load training. So this is when you already have all of your technique down. Your squats are perfect, your deadlifts are perfect, everything is solid and ready to go. And then this is where you start like actually adding heavy weights. So a lot of people will stay in this training for a while, and it's just due to what goals they have. Personally, I was in this for probably about a year, and a lot of people, they just tend to stay here because a lot of people don't want to become extreme elite athletes, which is completely understandable. Alright, now moving on to my personal favorite is performance training. So this is pretty much, it's functional movement and resistance training component. This emphasizes specific training to improve speed, agility, quickness, reactivity, and power. So a lot of the awesome athletes that are in the Olympics will do a lot of phase four training. And this is to become pretty much the best that you can be. You are going to do a lot of plyometrics. You're going to do a lot of motor unit recruitment. You're going to increase your weight coding. So a lot of this is going to be for these really, really high-level athletes. And phase four training is also for people with very specific goals. So for me, if I want to deadlift 400 pounds, I'm going to be in performance training because I want to be the best athlete that I can be in order to lift that 400 pounds. So I'm not saying that you have to be an elite athlete and in such a high level of your sport. This is just for people with very, very specific goals. Okay, so those phases were all for resistance training. And then, so there's four phases for those, and then there's four phases for cardiorespiratory training. So this will get you ready. This will get your body ready in all aspects. Okay, so to start out, you have phase one, aerobic-based training. So this is basically developing an initial aerobic base in clients who have sedentary or near sedentary. So this shouldn't be confused with aerobic base training, because it's not the same as people who are doing off-season training. You know, this is for people who are just now starting out. So it all depends on how quickly the client progresses through phase one and will depend on the client's goals, training volume, and initial fitness level. But a client who is fairly fit in the past and is in relatively good health will likely progress through this phase more quickly than a client who is currently obese and hasn't worked out in a while. Now I'm going to go over a couple very, very important vocabulary words, and this is VT1 and RPE. So VT1 is first ventilatory threshold. So this is pretty much when you are going to have an aerobic activity, you are going to judge your level of fitness by VT1, VT2, and VT3. So this is how hard your heart is working in each level. And RPE is ratings of perceived exertion. So moderate intensity will be 3 to 4 on a 0 to 10 scale. So this is pretty much just how hard your body's working on a resistance training level. All right, now we have phase 2, which is aerobic efficiency training. So the second phase of cardiorespiratory training is pretty much dedicated to enhancing the client's aerobic efficiency by progressing the program through increased duration of sessions. And that's increased frequency of sessions when possible and the introduction of aerobic intervals. So this is where a lot of people are going to add HIIT. You're going to be in the higher level of the VT1, and that's you're going to learn how your body is utilizing fat as a fuel source. So these will also allow, if you have a trainer, your trainer's going to add variety to your exercises, and this is where you all start to get going. Okay, now we're in phase 3. This is anaerobic endurance training. So notice I'm saying anaerobic and not just straight aerobic. So we're going to be diving into the second ventilatory threshold, which that's VT2. So this type of training is sometimes referred to as lactate threshold or tolerance training, and is designed to increase the amount of sustained work that an individual can perform at or near VT2. So, for clients looking to improve speed and performance, research has shown that world-class endurance athletes in multiple sports spend approximately 70 to 80% of their training time at or below VT1. So, a lot of people are going to be spending their time here. So, anaerobic endurance training will add great variety to the client's cardiorespiratory program and will also increase fatigue due to the increased interval intensity. So you're going to be wanting to do a warm-up, a cool-down, and active rest intervals when you're at an intensity that falls below the talk test level. Okay, and then this is where the fun really begins. This is phase 4 anaerobic power training. So even the sounds pretty intense, but this is one that many clients will never reach, this phase of cardiorespiratory training, as the challenges are introduced during the anaerobic endurance training phase will be at their highest level of work that they will want or need to perform based on their goals and motivation. So this is fine, but as the primary focus in this phase is to build on the training done in the past three phases, while also introducing new intervals that are designed to enhance anaerobic power. So these intervals will overload the fast glycolytic system and challenge the phosphagen system, which are going to enhance the client's ability to perform high-intensity work for extended periods. So these intervals are short-duration, high-intensity intervals that are super, super taxing, and they require a great deal of intrinsic motivation to meet the physical and mental challenges of completing them. So intrinsic motivation, we're going to go over, I think I went over this in the first episode, but extrinsic and intrinsic motivation are intrinsic motivation gets you to the gym because you love the feeling of working out. You enjoy it. You go there because you need a nice stress relief. And extrinsic motivation is, oh, let's go to the gym because I'm going to the Bahamas in the summer. You know, things like that, that you want to look good for this certain thing. So it's not you motivating yourself, it's other things motivating you. Okay, so now that I went over resistance training and aerobic training, I know that it seems like a lot when you first are getting into it, and at first I was very overwhelmed as well. So I think if you want to really start working out and finding a routine that really works for you, find something that you enjoy. I know personally I love playing soccer, but running on its own, I just cannot stand. I really don't like that. but I can stand doing intervals on the treadmill. So if you find aerobic training difficult mentally and something that's really not something you enjoy, you can watch Netflix and be on the Stairmaster. You know, things like that are going to be an extrinsic motivator. And that way you can get better while also not really suffering mentally. Okay, so for resistance training, you can do a couple of different things. You can do barbell training, you can do strength training of different sorts, and so you can do bodyweight training. So the first option that you have, you know, obviously, is bodyweight training. So with bodyweight training, you need minimal equipment or pretty much none at all, and you can train from anywhere. It doesn't matter if you're home, in a hotel, at a playground, in your office at work, or traveling around the world. So if you're bodyweight training, grab a pull-up bar, a set of gymnastics rings, and just get working. If you're starting out, an exercise band can help assist you with movements such as pull-ups or dips. None of these are really necessary, and you can easily do a bodyweight training without any equipment at all. The downside, however, to bodyweight training exercises is that you will need to consistently modify the exercise's difficulty in order to ensure that you're leveling up and progressing. You can also start dumbbell training. So dumbbells are a great way to start out with weighted strength training for a few reasons. First, most gyms will have a good set of dumbbells, and even if it's a basic gym in your apartment, or if you want to train at home, you can get a set of adjustable dumbbells that don't take a ton of space up. And dumbbells can make it easy to add a small amount of weight to a movement, and dumbbell exercises can seem less intimidating than barbell training. On top of that, starting with a 45-pound barbell might be a little too much at first. Dumbbells can have an added stabilization challenge and point out muscle imbalances pretty easily because a lot of them will be single joint exercises. If you can't finish a rep, it's much easier to drop a dumbbell than it is to drop a barbell. However, I'm definitely partial to the barbell training. Barbell training is my favorite because there's so many things you can do with it. You can be a weightlifter, you can be a powerlifter, and you can just work out like a normal person too. The barbell workout is my personal favorite because if your goal is strength, and above all else, this is the option that we recommend. Barbells allow you to progress clearly and quickly and allow you to add small increments of weight each week. Because a barbell is incredibly stable, using two hands instead of just one with a dumbbell, it's also much easier to go heavy, and especially for lower body movements like the squat and the deadlift. So for exercises like the squat or the press, you can use safety racks to load and deload heavy weights. So unfortunately for this one, there is just the downside is that with barbell training, you, in order to do it at home, it's kind of expensive because you're going to need a squat rack, a barbell, a bench, and enough weight in your house or garage to really load yourself up as much as the weight you would normally use at a gym. So find out what the best form of strength training is for you, because realistically it's the one that you will actually do. Barbell training may be optimal in terms of strength, but if you don't see yourself actually driving to the gym 3 days a week, I would just choose a different plan, because bodyweight training might seem convenient, but if you don't actually motivate yourself to work out at home, you might have been better off with a different option. So many times I'll pick the right workout to match my situation. So when I'm traveling, I'll do a ton of bodyweight workouts since I don't have a gym and a barbell available. And when I'm home with my gym, you better believe every morning, the first thing I do is get under a barbell, and go heavy. Now, the reason I'm so adamant about barbell training and powerlifting is because nothing can replace a heavy barbell squat and deadlift. At the same time, there's no barbell movement that can match the classic pull-up. So really find things that you enjoy and that you are going to do, because if not, then there's no point in doing it. All right, so now that I've talked about the different types of strength training, let's get you a program. So when looking for a program, most beginners will best be served by choosing a full body routine done 3 times a week. So make sure you choose a program that serves your goals, because a powerlifter will have a super different routine than a bodybuilder versus a marathoner. So as we know from pretty much what I just talked about, you're going to want to, the number of sets and reps you do changes the outcome of the exercise. So pretty much reps from the 1 to 5 range, so meaning you're going to do 1 squat to 5 squats, you're going to build super dense muscle and strength. So that's when you're going to go very, very heavy. You're squatting probably double or triple your weight in this kind of rep range. So reps in the 6 to 12 range will build a somewhat equal amount of muscular strength and muscular endurance. So these are a little bit harder mentally, so you got to get mentally tough to be ready for this. And then reps in the 12 plus range build muscular endurance and size. So a lot of bodybuilders will do sets of 20, and that's why their muscles are so big. So if you were going to do a beginner bodyweight workout, you'd complete 1 set of each exercise and then moving directly onto the next exercise. So the rest would be limited, and your workout would go by pretty quickly. So you would normally start out with 20 bodyweight squats, about 10 push-ups, 20 walking lunges, 10 dumbbell rows, 15-second plank, 30 seconds of jumping jacks, and you'd repeat it for 3 rounds. So in the more traditional strength style workout, you complete 1 set of an exercise and then rest, and then another set of the same exercise, and so on. So if this is a little bit confusing, I'll just explain. So if you were going to do 3 sets of 10 reps of squats, it would look like this. So you do 10 squats, and then you take a rest, and then you do 10 squats and rest, then you do 10 squats again, rest, and then you would do the next exercise. So if your main goal is general fitness and fat loss, and you don't care as much about strength, a circuit style workout will be slightly more beneficial, because it'll get you in and out of the gym a lot quicker and keep your heart rate up for longer. But if your main goal is to get stronger and put on muscle, hop onto a more traditional strength style routine. But also, how you eat will account for 80 to 90% of your success or your failure. So with a quality diet, you will lose fat and build strength in either style. And I know that it will be hard to look at the difference besides if you're not taking progress pictures, but one thing that I really do recommend is taking a trip to Fit Republic in Longmont and getting an in-body scan. So what this will do is it'll tell you your fat mass, your lean mass, your water percentage, like all of these things that you probably don't think that are very beneficial now. But if you start a weight training program and then you keep working hard and you have a great diet, and then 3 months later you're like, oh my gosh, I wonder how much weight I just lost, and you can find out how much body fat mass you just lost. And there's nothing better than finding out you lost 15% body fat, because that's an insane number to get.
With learning how to train, there are 3 different types. So there's verbal, visual, and kinesthetic. So verbal is learning best by listening in through lectures. Visual is learns best through imagery, charts, and graphs. And kinesthetic is learning best through the sense of touch and by actually feeling the motion of the skill. So clients can resonate with the different approach to learning and will pretty much respond differently to the cues you give them. So a few more things that will determine how a client learns are their training age, their athletic background, and how they have learned in the past. So if you are a verbal kind of learner, a great way to introduce a new skill is to just explain what it is. It's very important to know what type of learning style you are. That way you can train efficiently and productive. For many clients, the visual demonstration is an extremely powerful way to teach many people. This is why it's critical as a fitness professional, so your personal trainer, would be to practice what we preach and provide your clients with excellent exercise demonstrations. So that way, when you're learning a new movement and you have a personal trainer, that you don't want to watch them do a squat if they're doing it terribly. You know, you have to learn it the best way to actually do it.
Alright guys, thanks for listening to week 2 of How to Train with Get Fit with Jules, and catch me next week.